Hey Bootstrappers, thanks for listening to another episode of Bootstrapped. It's Steve McLeod here, this week with a solo episode. Yes, it's just me behind the microphone this week. Why a solo episode, you ask? I'll tell you why. My co-host can't talk. I mean that quite literally. That's right, Ed Freifogel, my frequent co-host, is currently unable to talk. Ed recently had an accident while cycling, and he managed to break his jaw. And as a result, his jaw has been wired shut for a few weeks. As you can imagine, with a jaw wired shut, speaking is not something you're going to be doing much of. In general, Ed's okay and in good health, but he's not going to be able to share his insights with us for a while, at least not in audio format. I'm sure you'll join with me in wishing Ed a speedy recovery. Get well soon, Ed. So today in this solo episode, I'm going to jump through a few miscellaneous topics. First, I'm going to talk about what I'll be doing on this podcast for the next few weeks, given that Ed's unable to take part. Then I'm going to muse a little bit on the unpredictability of life, some thoughts that have been triggered in me because of Ed's accident. Third, I'm going to challenge you to make a pricing experiment if it's suitable for your business. First, what's going to happen with this podcast for the next few weeks while Ed was recuperating? I'm going to do something I've been thinking of doing anyway. I'm running a mini season of interviews. Every episode for the next few weeks will be an interview with somebody I have not talked to on this show previously. It's something I've been thinking of doing sometime soon due to my schedule becoming a bit freer, which I'll tell you about in a moment. I do from time to time episodes like this already where I interview somebody about their story as a bootstrapper. But I intersperse it with other episodes, which might be Ed and I catching up on how our businesses are going or discussing a topic of relevance, or it might be catching up with somebody who's a regular guest or a frequent guest on the show, as well as other solo episodes I do. But this time it's just going to be interviews, but I'm not turning this into a permanent interview show. The limit to doing this so far has been my own schedule. I have a young child, and until recently, she's been at home all through the day. So I've had to work around her nap time and making sure I have plenty of time to be with her. As anybody with a young child at home knows, they can be quite unpredictable when they need more attention and so on. But now she started going to daycare, and I'm finding myself with the bliss of actually having more time in my working day. So this is giving me the ability to offer more time slots to the potential interviewees, which is going to make this happen. It also gives me more time to actually prepare the interviews. Look, I enjoy doing the interviews. I enjoy hearing people's stories. I enjoy giving people an opportunity to tell their story. I get genuine satisfaction out of doing them, but they are time consuming. To do them well requires research and preparation. I often have to find episodes of other people's podcasts they may have already been on, or their blog posts, or other ways of finding out a bit about their story so that the questions I'm asking actually make sense. I also have to make sure I'm asking questions that things they're willing to be told about. We all have things that we don't really want to talk about in public and those that we do, and I have to make sure that what we're prepared to talk about is suitable both for me as an interviewer and for them as an interviewee. And then finally, there's the editing and making sure that only the good parts make it to the final episode. So that's what's going to be happening starting from next week. Okay, moving on. I want to muse a little bit about Ed's accident. Well, not about Ed's accident per se, but about the fact that it reminded me that life is unpredictable. We wake up every day with a fair idea how our day is going to proceed. We make plans for the day, for the week, for the month. We even sometimes try to plan things years ahead. But the reality is that life is unpredictable. At any time, something unexpected can hit us in our lives, in our personal lives, in our health, in our family, in our businesses. I have experienced some really hard-hitting, unpredictable events in my life, things that have left me permanently changed. They're not things I'm prepared to go into detail about today, but I have been reminded a bit about that in recent days from Ed's accident. I like to do what I can to be prepared. Now, the nature of unpredictable events is that they are unpredictable, so you can't be prepared too much. But at least you can do some preparation, which means that an unpredictable event has less likelihood of snowballing to cause a whole lot more catastrophe in your life. What I do to try to prepare is to make sure that personally and in my business, financially, a sudden negative event is not going to cause disaster. In both my personal life and in my business life, I like to make sure that I have the cash resources to draw upon if need be to manage to go several months without encountering massive problems. And that way, an unexpected event, an accident, something in the family or something in the business, it doesn't have to become a disaster and it doesn't have to compound. So let's go with personal. I make sure that in a reasonably liquid form, in a way I can get to in days or weeks, I have enough savings to pay for our family's living expenses for several months. And that includes rent, utilities, food, entertainment, and so on. If the money coming into my personal account stopped today, I would not have to make any rash decisions because of that. I would be able to still go about my normal life while working out what I can do to resolve the problem. I also do the same in my business account. I have enough funds on hand to pay the costs of the business for several months. That includes paying myself, paying my freelancers, my team, and paying other costs, serving costs and whatever other services we have to do. I make sure there's enough for several months and preferably, if I can, even longer. So a consequence of this is that I take money out from the business slowly. The main way in which I contribute to my long-term savings is as dividends I take from the money. I pay myself a modest wage, and then I take dividends out annually and I put them to savings. Because I want to make sure there's always adequate money left in the business, I take out dividends prudently and modestly. A second consequence of this, I grow my businesses slowly, really slowly. If we grow at 5% in any given month, that's actually a high month's growth these days. And I have no problems with that. I like 2-3% growth. Of course, when the business was smaller, it was more like 5 or 10%. But now, just a couple of percent, month after month, I'm quite happy with that. Any more is bonus, but I'm certainly not investing money into growing quickly. I do know of some businesses, some bootstrappers who are running B2B SaaS software as a service type products who are obsessed with getting there. I don't know what there is, but they seem to know. It's some goal they have for their business and they want to get there as quickly as they can. So as soon as their revenue increases, they commit to spending that money on things. For example, let's say their monthly recurring revenue goes up by $2,000 per month. They're immediately then putting that into advertising, committing $2,000 per month more in their advertising, or they're hiring $2,000 more freelancers per month, whether they be customer support or customer success or freelance developers or marketing people. And what this means is that, yes, they do grow quickly, but at no point are they ever stopping that to let the resources amass. It's this idea that they have to get where they're going so quickly, they don't have time for that. And then when something goes wrong, when they lose a key customer, when something changes in the ecosystem for which their product is part of, or when there's some type of financial hit they weren't expecting, they are suddenly in crisis mode. They had no cushion. They now have to act rashly doing things. And that little, what should have been a little drama has now become a big compounding problem. I'm not comfortable doing that. I like to keep my business low stress and my life low stress. And part of the low stress strategy for my business is making sure that when I hit that pothole in the road, to use a metaphor, I don't find that I'm now in a disastrous situation. Instead, I can just look at the situation and say, well, that's annoying, or it can even be something worse than annoying. But I can say, that's okay. I have what it takes to get through this for now. I don't have to make any rash decision. I don't have to, for example, lay people off and borrow money in a hurry in a bad situation. Long ago in a previous business, a consulting business I ran when I was young or much younger and single, so I didn't have a family who had to feel the ramifications of my bad business decisions, I regularly faced cash crunches. Now, I think it's part of the nature of a consulting business. We might get a new client today, the work starts in a month's time, but I need to hire new people to do that work and they want to be paid now. But the client doesn't start paying for some months by the time it goes through all their complicated purchasing department, which would leave me with a cash crisis for some months. And this would happen recurringly. And I'd have to make hard decisions. I'd have to borrow money on terms I didn't like, which actually often meant credit card debt, which is a terrible, terrible rate of interest, although it's a cash that's very easy to get hold of urgently. I didn't like that. This business often made me feel terrible because of the stress, and I want to avoid that in my current business. And so I have avoided it. I have avoided it ever since I started my current business 13 years ago. There was a time some years ago in which cash reserves were getting low, and I knew I needed to make big changes to my business, but I had the chance to make them slowly over some months. Moving on to the last topic I want to talk about today, a pricing experiment I challenge you to make if it's appropriate for your business. And this pricing experiment is to hide the cheapest tier in your pricing tiers. Like I said, this experiment is only something you can do if it's relevant to you. You need to have a product with tiered pricing. And it's particularly relevant, I believe, for B2B SaaS products, where often we have less price sensitivity in our products than we believe, and we just need an experiment to show us that. So here's how the experiment goes. Oh, this is particularly appropriate for you if you haven't changed your prices for a long time. I know this is something a lot of us don't do as often as we should, because we get comfortable with where we are at, and we get a little bit afraid of making a change to something that seems drastic, like putting the prices up. So, the pricing experiment, it's simple. For the entirety of the next month, hide your cheapest pricing tier. Don't get rid of it, don't change your payment processing at all, just leave things as they are, don't change anything for existing customers. This is just for new customers coming in. They can't see your cheapest tier, so they have to choose the next highest one. So when I say for the entirety of the next month, that can be a calendar month. I'm talking to you now in October, so that would be November 2021, or it can be 30 days starting today or starting tomorrow. The first step to this experiment is to go and edit the HTML of your pricing page on your website. Find the div element in the HTML for your starter plan or whatever you call your lowest pricing tier, and make that div hidden. That's it. Do that right now. It takes you a few minutes. Publish the website. Now people arriving at your website don't see that tier there. That's the first step of the experiment. You can stop there for now, or you can do the second step already. I'm going to tell you what to do after the first step. That's to see whether you get a change in the amount of in the amount of free trial signups. My suspicion, you won't. You'll get just the same number of free trial signups as you were before you started the price experiment. The second part of the pricing experiment is to actually make it so that on your subscribe page within your app, your payment page, the starter plan is hidden. So you had already hidden it from your marketing site. Now you need to hide it from your app. But make sure that it can be easily shown on demand when you need to. For example, you might make it so that if there's a query string parameter present on the URL of your payment page, next query string parameter could be called something like show starter. If that's present, then you show that hidden plan. What this enables you to do is to very quickly deal with the situation where somebody had seen the cheaper plan in the past and now is curious where it goes. And when they complain, you can just send them the special link. This actually has two benefits. One, for those who are annoyed that the plan disappeared, you can give it back to them easily. And second, you can even make people feel special, because everybody likes to feel like they're getting something cheaper or a discount or something special that other people are not getting. Now, don't make an announcement about this pricing experiment. Don't announce it on your social medias. Don't announce it on your blog. Don't announce it in your newsletter. Don't say it anywhere. Just go about it quietly and doing it and see what happens. That's what the experiment is. Hide your lowest pricing tier from your marketing page, from your payment page. Don't tell anybody and see what happens. You've only committed to do this for a month, So that should take away some of the anxiety that always comes into effect when we're doing some change like this. And you can undo it in an instant. If you do find that people stop signing up, that it really hurts your business hard, you can undo it in an instant. Furthermore, if you do undo it, those people who did still sign up during the experiment won't feel cheated because they can still change their plan. I'm sure your pricing system allows people to change plans once that plan is showing again. This is an especially good experiment to do if your lowest pricing tier is less than $49 per month. For a lot of B2B customers, there is no substantial difference in their mind between $29 and $49 per month. And the way to discover that is to hide the plan that's less than $49 per month. So why is this an experiment worth doing? Like I said, it's easy to undo. If you lose your nerve, you can show the plan again quickly. And if you get lots of people complaining, but you won't, but if you are worried that you will, you can enable it again. Furthermore, a regular listener to this podcast recently tried this pricing experiment and told me some of the details. What happened? Well, first, they were worried that their customers are price conscious. They were worried that hiding the lowest pricing tier would make many potential customers instead try a cheaper alternative. But they steeled themselves and they did the pricing experiment anyway. The result? Best month ever. Let me say this again. A listener to this podcast who has a B2B SaaS hid their lowest pricing tier for a month, and the result was best month ever for new revenue. There was no difference to the number of signups, no substantial difference, I believe, but the revenue per customer dramatically increased. Now, you might be a bit skeptical. A lot of us in this bootstrapping world are developers, and it's in our nature as developers to be skeptical. I think partly because we hear so many ridiculous claims in the field of technology over the years. So let me give you some more info. The podcast listener who tried this experiment is running a solid established business. This is not like one of those cases where someone brags that their revenue, their monthly recurring revenue doubled, but then when you look into it, you realize that's because they had two customers and now they have four customers. Their revenue went from $50 to $100 or anything like that. No, this is a solid business that's been growing for years that, to the best of my knowledge, is a healthy business, bringing in good money. They significantly increased revenue growth from this simple pricing experiment. Another caveat, it wasn't a carefully controlled experiment. Of course, there's always lots of things going on in our businesses that can affect monthly signups. We all have good months and bad months, even without changing anything, and it's easy to be fooled by randomness. And another caveat, who knows what the long-term effect will be, although I suspect it will be good. The customers who pay more tend to stay around longer, churn less, they tend to be easier to support, and etc. But let's face it, we all operate our businesses with a bunch of unknown factors. We all have to make experiments where there's factors that could have had an effect, and we just have to somehow accept things as they are. So let's be happy to take the revenue growth for this person who tried the experiment at face value. Listeners, here's my challenge to you. If it makes sense for your type of business, particularly if you have a B2B SaaS with tiered pricing, hide your cheapest pricing tier for a month. And if you haven't changed your pricing in 6 months or a year or 2 years, definitely it's time you tried this pricing experiment or something similar. If you do try this, please let me know. I'd love to know how it goes for you. I would love to get more data as to whether this was a fluke that it happened well for one person. If 20 of us try it, then I get to know whether 10 of us had a good high increase in our revenue and 10, nothing much happened, or whether in general everybody found it to be of value. So email me, or better, contact me via Twitter. My email is steve@barberysoftware.com. You'll find that in the show notes. My Twitter handle is @steveofmcleod, again, in the show notes. Twitter is the best way to contact me. Just to summarize, the price experiment is this. Hide your lowest pricing tier for the next 30 days or calendar month, but make it really easy to undo and just see what happens. And let me know how it goes. Okay, time to wrap up. That's all for today. I will be back soon with another episode of Bootstrapped. Until then, thanks for listening. And by the way, get well soon, Ed.